of living my prayer for truth. I call it my prayer, it is simple and clear. It wants me to give and receive love. I call in the light to make everything right and show me the way to just be love. And show me the way to just be.
Hello and welcome to the Rewire Your Attachment Style podcast. This is Maya Diamond, and I'm here today with Erin Beata, my enrollment director for the Empower Love business and for the Rewire for Love program. And today we're going to be talking about a really important topic that is just so widespread and so common and also just discussed so much right now and has become, you know, really ubiquitous in terms of the psychological field, which is narcissism. And we really want to help you understand, like, what are the differences in terms of the disorder and the traits? You know, how can you start understanding and spotting this? And what to do if you are in a relationship with a narcissist. And more, we're going to cover like the possibility of recovery from that relationship, because it's really, that's one of the things that we see that is so common in the program is women who have been in relationship with narcissists and who need to recover from that relationship because of all the damage done. So we're really going to cover that as well. So without further ado, Erin is going to be asking me some questions. We're going to have an hopefully awesome dialogue about this incredibly important topic.
Amazing. Well, it's so good to be here with you today, especially around really diving into this topic for the podcast, because
yeah,
it is such a common thing that we hear on so many of the initial calls that we do with clients are people who have been in relationships. And also, you know, narcissism it's become such a like pop word.
Yes.
It goes around so much. And so I'm yes. so happy to get your expertise today to really understanding what it is and what it isn't. And starting off, I wonder if you can just share with us a little bit about what is narcissistic personality disorder?
Yes. So NPD. So in the DSM, which is kind of this big book that has been created that details all of the psychological and mental health disorders, right? So in that book, there are a section called personality disorders. And narcissistic personality disorder is one of the personality disorders. And that is characterized by a pattern of grandiosity, need for admiration, and lack of empathy. So in that book, you can see what the criteria are. And I think what's really important is that so many people in our society have a lot of pretty much everyone has some narcissistic traits. But if you have the personality disorder, then you're going to have all of the criteria for that disorder. And so you're going to have the grandiosity, the need for admiration, and the lack of empathy. It's important to see the distinction, right? So you might know someone who's self-absorbed. Maybe they talk a lot about themselves and they're not that good of a listener, but they actually have true empathy for other humans and they're really able to really understand other people's feelings and, you know, be emotionally responsive to those feelings. That would not be someone with narcissistic personality disorder. So this piece, I would say, you know, this piece around the lack of empathy is one of the biggest pieces that to me differentiates someone between NPD and not NPD. And it also, to me, is one of the biggest differentiators of someone who can have a healthy relationship and someone who can't. So all of the literature states that, you know, the emotional connection between two humans is the foundation of a healthy, secure relationship. So if someone is not truly empathic, it's going to be incredibly hard for them to be emotionally responsive, emotionally engaged, emotionally interested in the other person.
I think that that's one of the reasons it's become such a buzzword. You know, and I think that you highlight this really beautifully in your TEDx talk on emotional responsiveness, because it is such a key piece of things. And
yeah,
since it is a, you know, one of the key traits of someone with NPD is a lack of empathy. Can you describe to us a little bit more about what actual empathy is?
Yes. So empathy is when you are able to really understand another person's thoughts and feelings and their viewpoint rather than your own. So it's like really getting into the other person's experience, really being able to feel them, be with them in their experience, join with them in their experience, understand their experience, even if you've never experienced it before. So your partner might be talking about how they're feeling really jealous about something you did, and maybe you don't experience jealousy, right? But you can actually empathize with their experience. Even though you've never experienced that, you can empathize. You can get in their shoes. Right? And this is this deep ability to really go into someone else's shoes. And that allows the other person to feel seen and heard and felt when you can really get into, really understand this person's experience. And that's why, you know, empaths, that's why with empathy, there's actual mirror neurons in the brain that allow you to feel the other person's feelings, even though they're different than your own. And so that those mirror neurons allow you to empathize, even though you might not have ever had that experience before. And empaths have way more, like just thousands and thousands more mirror neurons than the rest of the population. And that's, again, a big population of the people that we work with are empaths. And there's a lot of strengths and weaknesses to empaths. And it's quite common that empaths and narcissists get together.
And I know we've touched on this before, but can you just speak a little bit to why that is?
Yes. So there are a number of reasons why that is. I think one of the biggest reasons is that empaths can have a hard time with boundaries, and narcissists hate boundaries. So that kind of is like a lock and key together. And then also, empaths are so good at feeling and caring for the other person, and narcissists just like soak in that attention and that love and that care. So I would say those are the two biggest pieces. And the other thing is, a lot of time empaths did grow up with maybe narcissistic parents. And so again, that also would make it so that's what they learned love was. And so they're more attracted to narcissists because that was their model for love growing up.
Right. That sense of familiarity being there.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you've touched on a few of these pieces, you know, of some of the traits, you know, in particular, talking about the lack of empathy and also talking about not liking boundaries. But can you share with us some of the other traits, some of the other narcissistic traits that come along that people tend to see dating?
Yes, I would say one of the big ones is love bombing. So in the beginning of a relationship with a narcissist, they give a lot of affection and gifts a lot of times, not always, but a lot of times they do this thing called love bombing, where they really make you feel so, so special. They make maybe even promises that they don't fulfill. They decide that you're the one, like within the first month of dating or a couple months of dating. And so you just feel so prized, so chosen, so desired, so cared for. And that really hooks you in. But then later on in the relationship, what comes to be seen is that this is the really interesting thing that's a similarity between narcissists and avoidance. Even though, so those can go together or they can be separate. They don't always go together at all. But one similarity is they both have a real hard time with real true intimacy. Because narcissists have kind of a false sense of self and they don't have this deep, true internal sense of self, it's very hard for them to have real true intimacy when things, once the relationship is further along, they create a lot of distance because they don't really want that. They have a real hard time with that real intimacy of being truly seen because they have such low self-worth inside. It's very hard. They don't want to be fully seen in that real intimacy. It's very scary for them. So there's more of that defendant personality, which is why another trait is like the anger outbursts and things like that. Anger when they receive any feedback about themselves.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, the love bombing is a very dangerous thing because it's so, as a woman especially, you can be so susceptible because every woman wants, it's natural for us women to want to feel desired, to want to feel chosen, to want to feel special. Like everyone wants to feel those feelings. So we're all vulnerable to that. But unfortunately, what happens is then it hooks you in and attaches you very quickly. And then you're not actually seeing who this person actually is.
Right. And especially if the pacing of the relationship, if things are moving quickly.
Yeah.
And I know that we were talking about this. I think quite often people can misinterpret the love bombing as feeling like someone might be have a high level of emotional responsiveness.
Yes.
And so it can actually, it seems like it can be a very emotionally addictive cycle to be in, to always want to try to get back to that place.
Yes, that exactly. That's something that's so common, is because in the first, it could even be the first year of the relationship or the first 6 months were so amazing. Then when you're in a relationship with a narcissist, you try so hard later on in the relationship to get back to that place, when unfortunately it's not possible without the narcissist really doing a lot of work to really get in touch with their shadow and their places of insecurity. Otherwise, it's going to be really hard for the relationship to grow and develop. And that's something, you know, that's common that we say in the therapist world, is the only way that narcissists, that what we commonly see is narcissists don't go into therapy on their own, but so you see them in couples therapy, but it's very, 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 very rare for a narcissist to go on their own and do that personal growth work because they have a hard time seeing that they have anything to work on.
Yeah. What is narcissistic emotional abuse look like in relationships?
So a big feature of the narcissistic abuse is the gaslighting, which is when someone denies your experience or your reality. And that can happen, you know, on a daily basis in a relationship, that, or maybe weekly basis, where you may experience something with this person and then you let them know, oh, like you said you were going to do this. And then they say, no, I didn't. And so when that happens on a continual basis, then it makes you really question your own personal experience, which then also makes you question your sanity. So that's one of the big things. Another big thing is being put down, being made fun of, you know, being name called, having, yeah, like intense rage coming at you. And because the narcissist maybe can't take, because they can't take feedback or criticism, then they respond with rage. And that's, again, this intense defense pattern. Like I cannot, there's so much deep shame underneath the narcissist shell that the criticism or feedback creates this, makes the narcissist, you know, react with that intense anger. Uh-huh. And so then that can be also come out in an abusive way. In addition, they do this thing where they're constantly changing the goal. That one of the ways that it can be emotionally abusive is they're constantly changing the goalpost. So maybe they said, oh, like we're going to get, you know, let's get engaged at this certain time. And then they keep changing that date, right? Or they keep saying, oh, when this happens, then we'll do it, right? So they keep changing the goalposts, which can be really, really challenging. And then exactly like criticizing, you know, maybe the way you look or something that maybe is a weakness of yours, they could, you know, put you down around. And then the other thing that's important to discuss is the covert narcissist versus the overt narcissist.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that we discuss that because so many people don't realize. So the overt narcissist is kind of more like the Trump character. They're extroverted. They're just so seen in the public eye. They're so big in their personality. They're extroverted in their personality. They're big in their personality. Maybe these are like the, you know, the preachers that are total narcissists. And everyone, you know, on the outside thinks they're so, oh, another big trait of a narcissistic trait is charming. So, you know, and that definitely for the NPD, you see that pretty consistently in the overt narcissist. So they might be very charming and extroverted, et cetera. And they have the grandiose sense of self and the lack of empathy and the need for admiration. But in the covert narcissist, which not everyone knows about, and so it's really important to understand, the covert narcissist is an introverted narcissist. So they may even be shy. They may even seem humble, but they have the same underlying pieces around the lack of empathy. They still have a need for admiration. And they can still do the gaslighting. And possibly they might do the love bombing as well. And so it's just important to know that it's not always kind of the big personalities that are going to be, you know, narcissists. Sometimes it's someone who is more shy and more, introverted.
Yeah. And then especially when those outbursts happen from that type of person, it can feel initially, especially if there's been love bombing and this courtship in the beginning, it feels so intense that especially for someone who tends to gear towards those types, they feel like they almost think that they did something wrong.
Yes.
And then like these cycles start happening because it's like, pushed me, you know, somehow to this place, you know, and then there's like this internalizing that happens.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's one of the biggest things exactly is that they cannot take responsibility for their actions. Instead, with the gaslighting, they're constantly turning it around and blaming you for their actions. And that's what's so crazy making and so hard to be in a relationship with when someone will not take responsibility for what they've done. And that's incredibly challenging. And so, you know, it's like, it's just, that's one of the key pieces to emotional maturity is being able to take responsibility for your words and your actions.
Yeah. Well, we've talked so much about some of the traits and what this can look like in relationship. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about the cause of narcissism.
Yeah, I really want to bring compassion and empathy to narcissists in this conversation, even though obviously it's hard on a certain level because how much pain I've seen, you know, in myself and my clients from this experiences with someone with this personality disorder or with a lot of traits, right? So I just want to first of all come out and say, there's parts of me that do not have empathy. That have a hard time for empathy because of the pain that people with this personality disorder have caused me or my clients. So I just want to say that. And I want to say that I really want to have compassion and empathy for this people with this personality disorder, which I definitely have as well. Like I have both. I'll just name and be completely honest. I can feel both, right? Like, anger and frustration around it, but also empathy. Because the root of this disorder and of narcissistic traits is narcissistic wounding. So not having true empathy from the mother, or the father. So instead of this person being seen as a separate sense of self, being seen as, you know, having their own feelings and thoughts and needs and interests, the narcissistic parent, the narcissistic wounding just saw this person as an extension of themselves and therefore wasn't able to mirror what mirrored the true feelings, needs, desires, interests of this young child or this baby. And so growing up, you were always constantly used or seen as an extension of your parent. And so you weren't able to be seen as this separate sense of self and as your true self. And so we all have a lot of people, most of us have some narcissistic wounding, right? And some people have a lot. And so that's why the cool thing, so you might be listening and be like, oh yeah, I have some narcissistic traits, or it is sometimes really hard for me to get feedback and I do get angry. Or you might be thinking, oh, maybe I have gaslit someone in the past or whatever. So the good news is that you can work on this, right? This is what we do is in the coaching, you receive feedback, you receive empathy, you receive mirroring on your true self, et cetera. And so, but also you receive learning how to communicate effectively, learning how you can learn true empathy skills, et cetera. So, unfortunately for someone who has a lot of narcissistic traits or the personality disorder, there was that lack of mirroring, lack of empathy by, you know, the main primary caregiver. As well, I think there's also a biological genetic component as well.
Can we talk a little bit about what truly healing from this looks like, from being in a narcissistic relationship, from being with a narcissist? Because
yeah,
so many people, this ends up being a pattern that they see repeated. And it can be so heartbreaking. And I've seen so many different ways that it can impact someone's ability to have, you know, a high level of discernment, know what to look out for. But I would really love to just hear from you on what actually truly, truly healing and being on the other side of this looks like for someone.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, I just want to say really quickly, you know, the traits of a narcissist can be incredibly attractive to women.
Yeah.
So usually there's a lot of times narcissists or people who have a lot of narcissistic traits are very attractive. They're charming. They're successful, et cetera. So that would be really easy to get into a relationship with someone like that. Because if you think about it, those are traits that people want to be with. They want to be with someone successful. They want to be with someone charming. They want to be with someone who's attractive. Okay. So just having compassion for yourself if you've chosen that in the past. Number two is exactly. So if you're listening, you might be, you know, recently broken up from being in a relationship with a narcissist, or you might be about to leave a narcissist. You may have a hard time leaving this situation, and we can definitely help you with that. That's something that we definitely specialize with, is helping you leave these kinds of situations and recover. And so in terms of the recovery, it really looks like, A, number one, coming back to yourself, your sense of self, your interests, your desires, your feelings, but also doing the trauma healing work. Because when you've been in a relationship with a narcissist for a long time, there's a lot of trauma that has occurred from that relationship. So many instances where you were not heard, not seen, so many instances where you were criticized, so many instances where exactly the person didn't, you know, follow through with what they say they were going to follow through, or where they behaved in a way that was maybe even, so that's super, super important. Yeah. So those are traumatic events, you know, when repeated over and over. So it's kind of like, it's not acute trauma when you're in a relationship with a narcissist. It's chronic trauma. It's especially if you're living with that person every single day. And we've heard so many stories. I mean, there's just so many countless stories. You can read them all over the internet of, like, you know, the pain, the violence, emotional or physical, you know, abuse that has occurred. And so it takes recovering, coming back to yourself, creating, learning how to create healthy boundaries for yourself, healing that trauma, as well as really rebuilding your self-esteem and your confidence. because it really lowers your self-esteem and your confidence to be with someone who treats you that way day in and day out and who is not valuing you. I think that's one of the biggest like signs that you're in a relationship with a narcissist is you don't actually feel valued. You feel not good. You feel like, you know, a lot of times you feel like shit if you're in a relationship with a narcissist.
Yeah. I feel like that's such an important piece too around what are healthy boundaries, because when you're coming out of something like that, especially if you've been in it for a while, I think that some people can actually be very boundaried themselves as to try to protect.
Yes.
Which, I mean, makes absolute sense. I mean, I think that anyone who's suffered from that for a while, in a sense, like their vigilance center is going to be so high that it's like anything that might subtly resemble that, you know, it's like there's this very boundaried thing that can tend to happen. And it's one of the things that I just admire so much about the women who come through this program is really understanding what healthy boundaries look like so that they're not constantly playing defense of like a fear of this happening to them again and being
attacked. Oh my gosh.
Actually being able to like have their boundaries be so healthy that they invite in more intimacy instead of defending themselves from what they don't want. And I feel like that distinction in the work that you do is just such an incredibly powerful tool in being able to have like just such a high level of discernment around who you let into your life and how you choose to interact with them and what that looks like from a truly secure nervous system that's healed from it.
Exactly, exactly. Beautifully said. So when you're in a relationship with a narcissist, then after you may have more rigid boundaries, which means they're actually too defended. And so then you might project onto all these people that they are narcissists when maybe they're not, because you're trying to protect yourself and you've gone to an extreme. And so you don't actually feel safe opening in a healthy way to another person. And so what we want is exactly what we help you do is really come into this middle ground where you have healthy, flexible, strong boundaries where you can really protect yourself in a relationship, really protect yourself with healthy discernment, really protect yourself with healthy communication skills. But you can let in someone who is actually kind, who is actually caring, who is actually healthy for you, who is actually empathic and all of that, exactly, that or that middle ground that you can come into. And, you know, I remember post-relationship with a narcissist, I had that. I was definitely needing to recover. I did about a year of recovery work. And I remember just exactly feeling incredibly defended around that ever happened. Very, very scared that that was going to happen again. And so that fear was driving me to have kind of intense defense around other people. But I think when you, when you do that healing work, it you can kind of come into a healthy place around it. So that's really, really beautiful and powerful to do. And really coming into an even stronger, I think the beauty of healing from narcissistic abuse or a long-term relationship with a narcissist is you can become a lot stronger. Because again, there were probably some weaknesses that had you attached to that person in the first place, namely the, you know, not having maybe strong enough boundaries or not having strong enough discernment, or, and not to blame people who are in relationship with a narcissist at all. It's just, we always have areas of growth, and those areas of growth really get highlighted when you are in that recovery period. And that is what we get to really focus on in the Rewire for Love program. And so we're really, if you are coming out of that relationship or you're, you know, trying to leave, we're going to help really strengthen those weak areas that had you get in that relationship in the first place. Again, boundaries, discernment, communication skills, which are then self-esteem, confidence, self-love, which are then internal secure attachment, which are then going to help you discern in the future how, you know, and attract someone who actually is able to meet you, who's actually able to have healthy communication with you, who actually has true empathy for you. And so this is so imperative, because there are so many people with a lot of narcissistic traits out there, because our culture in a way kind of positively affirms, if you think about it, our culture really affirms success. Like our culture does not affirm empathy skills. Like there are not, like, people are not like, oh my gosh, like, this person's so empathic. Like, that is not positively affirmed. What's affirmed is making money, success, and fame in our culture, and beauty. Those are all more in the narcissistic trait category, right? And so it makes sense that there are a lot of people with narcissistic traits out there, and there are a lot of people even with NPD out there. And so really being able to discern well is incredibly important.
Yeah, amazing. Well, thank you so much for all of the wisdom that you've shared for us today. I wonder, do you have any closing remarks to share with us? Any little tidbits for anyone who's listening to kind of close us out today?
Yes, thank you. I just want to kind of just say that, you know, again, just like, if you're listening and you've experienced this, I guess, like, as we're talking about and going deeper into it, I can really just feel this, and how much pain is associated with these kinds of relationships. And so these toxic relationships. And so I just want to, just taking a moment, if you're listening, just doing a little self-care around this, and just taking a moment and closing your eyes and bringing your hand to your heart. Because the other biggest thing that happens, I think, with people who've experienced this is the self-blame of, like, I should have known better. I should have seen it sooner, especially people, maybe you're in the mental health field and you chose and you didn't realize that you chose to be with a narcissist. You might feel really a lot of shame and blame, or just in general, you might just, like, even if you're not in the mental health field, you're an educated, smart, intelligent person and you chose this person. And so we tend to blame ourselves. And so I want you to just take a moment, bring your hand to your heart, taking a deep breath into your heart, and just taking a moment to notice whatever feelings are coming up as we've really gone deep into this topic. Maybe it's self-blame, maybe it's just pain from these types of relationships that you've had, and just taking a moment to bring this loving empathy and compassion and heart energy towards yourself, towards your beautiful heart. Self-forgiveness, self-trust. Just imagine this love energy pouring into your heart. Maybe it's a particular color. Maybe it's just this beautiful sunlight energy pouring down from the sky. Just take a deep breath into that, really letting yourself receive that in your whole body. Feeling this self-love, this self-compassion enter into your body, enter every single cell in your body. You are safe. You are loved. You are accepted. All of you is accepted. All of you is enough. No matter what choices you've had or made in the past in love, that you are whole and enough and worthy. And just take another deep breath into that. Just now, just opening your eyes and coming back.
Thank you so much for that. I can feel so much more grounded and in my body. I think especially when we're talking about these things, we can kind of overly intellectualize things or get really in our head or get really caught up in the stories, and it can really take us out of our body. So thank you for just closing out this deep dive today with just coming back down and in. It has been amazing to connect with you today. Mm-hmm. For any of you who are interested in learning more about Maya's Rewire for Love program, you are more than welcome to apply for a complimentary love breakthrough session with our team. We'll dive specifically into your love life and some of the patterns that you have seen emerge, and really from that place, really getting a clear understanding of ideally what your vision for a relationship is. And if it's a good fit, we'll share with you how our program works and how Maya's, just incredibly comprehensive program and support can actually really get you the results that you're looking for in terms of healing from this and being able to get into a really healthy, secure partnership. So I know Maya will be attaching a link for any of you who are interested in applying for that. We would be more than happy to connect with you and share more details.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, if you're listening and you're really resonating and needing support with either getting out of a relationship like this or healing and recovering, or, you know, again, just want to work on healing your own narcissistic traits, we would love to work with you. And you can, go to empowerlove.us/apply to book your free love breakthrough session. And work with me either one-on-one or in the group program, Rewire for Love. So thank you, everyone, so, so much for listening today, sending you each such, so much love and big, big hugs. And I look forward to seeing you, hearing you, feeling you on the next one.
Amazing. Thanks so much, Maya.
Thank you so much for listening to Rewire Your Attachment Style. This is Maya Diamond to receive your 2 free gifts to help you on your journey to lasting love and to start rewiring your attachment style today. Go to empowerlove.us/love.